This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, June 8th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Apple held the first day of its Worldwide Developers Conference yesterday, and it rolled out some big updates to many of its core apps, including Safari, Maps, Health, and Mail. The reveals give us some ideas about where Apple is focusing its business as it faces scrutiny on several fronts. Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern will fill us in after these headlines. Google agreed to pay French regulators a fine of nearly $270 million to settle one of the first antitrust cases against its online ads business. As part of the settlement, France's competition authority said it accepted a series of proposed commitments from Google, including promises to make it easier for competitors to use its online ad tools. Those commitments are binding for 3 years. Google said it's committed to working collaboratively with regulators and investing in new products and technologies that give publishers more choice and better results when using the company's platforms. U.S. law enforcement officials say they've recovered 64 of the 75 Bitcoin paid to the hackers who hit Colonial Pipeline with a ransomware attack last month. The attack led to a 6-day shutdown of the main fuel pipeline to the East Coast. The Bitcoin recovered is worth $2.3 million as of yesterday. But because of Bitcoin's volatility, that's only a little more than half the value of what was originally paid. The seizure was part of the U.S.'s efforts to combat the rise in ransomware attacks and other cyber crimes. In a press conference yesterday, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco spoke directly to business leaders.
The threat of severe ransomware attacks pose a clear and present danger to your organization, to your company, to your customers, to your shareholders, and to your long-term success. So pay attention now. Invest resources now. Failure to do so could be the difference between being secure now or a victim later.
And Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is giving himself a one-of-a-kind going-away present. Bezos is set to step down as CEO of Amazon on July 5th. And just a couple of weeks after that, he'll be heading to space as one of the first passengers carried by his space travel company, Blue Origin. Here he is in a video posted to his Instagram account.
I want to go on this flight because it's a thing I've wanted to do all my life. It's an adventure. It's a big deal for me.
The capsule he'll be traveling in is designed to briefly rise into space before returning to the ground about 10 minutes after launch. Bezos has invested heavily in Blue Origin in recent years, as the company aims to support widespread commercial activity in space in the future. All right, coming up after the break, we'll bring you all the biggest highlights from the keynote of this year's WWDC. That's next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Apple kicked off its Worldwide Developers Conference yesterday. That's Apple's big yearly event where it lifts the curtain on all kinds of new software. Normally, this is a huge in-person conference that serves as a sort of pep rally for Apple products. But this year, the dynamic was a little different. As we've talked about on the show, Apple's been facing some antitrust scrutiny in the European Union as well as in the US. Plus, it's in the middle of a big court battle with the maker of Fortnite, Epic Games, over its App Store fees. So here to talk more about what we saw at yesterday's keynote is our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Hey, Joanna.
Hello, Amanda.
And, you know, before we get started, we should just note here that the publisher of the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Apple services. So, Joanna, I'm curious about how some of those dynamics that we mentioned at the top played out at this year's keynote. You know, one thing I noticed is that a lot of the features that we saw announced seemed to look like Apple introducing its own version of something that other companies already do.
I was actually surprised. I kind of expected Tim Cook to take the stage and do a little bit of a rambling thing that he sort of does usually about the state of the world and the state of the business and Apple. But really, he just put his head down and they introduced feature after feature for all the major operating systems and sort of blew through it all. Of course, in there, you definitely had a sense of certain features that are coming from other platforms, features that have been on Android before or features that have been on Samsung. So this is something that happens pretty much every year where you see Apple announce some features and you see Google announce some features that one of the companies uses or has in their products and the other then borrows it. And it's sort of what you end up with is just lots of products that are very similar. I would say this year we heard a lot about FaceTime at WWDC from Apple. A lot around the grid view, these sort of the ability to blur your background, the ability to dampen the audio sound around you with noise cancellation, all of those things pretty reminiscent of Zoom and all of the other video conferencing platforms out there. We also heard a bit about on-device speech recognition, which is something that we've heard Google and Amazon talking a lot about lately. The quick note feature, which is allows you to quickly take notes in the Notes app, is pretty reminiscent of the Samsung Notes feature. Another really big one, which I'm pretty excited about, is a feature that I use a lot in Microsoft Edge. It's called Collections. But now Safari is getting a similar feature called Safari Tab Groups, and this allows you to group your tabs together when you're web browsing. And it's a very handy feature, and I actually switched to Microsoft Edge for it, and now I'm wondering if I'm going to go back to Safari.
Oh, so maybe some competition there. All right, so another big thing that Apple has really been talking a lot about this year has been privacy. And we actually saw them really underline privacy in many of these new software reveals.
Definitely. They dedicated an entire section of the presentation to privacy, and they weaved the privacy story through each of the different operating system unveils. So one of the most interesting things I think we're seeing on privacy, though, is sort of privacy for pay. This is the idea that you already probably pay for some form of iCloud storage. And now Apple is building in some privacy features to that iCloud tier, the paid iCloud tier. One of the features is called Private Relay, and this encrypts all your traffic in Safari, sort of like a virtual private network, but they're saying it's not a virtual private network. Either way, to get that, you have to pay for iCloud service. And then another one that I'm excited about is something called the App Privacy Report. This will be on iOS and iPadOS, and you'll be able to go into settings and see specifically what trackers apps are using. And this is a feature that you really wouldn't have been able to get before. You'd have to run a special software or a special portal on a computer to see this kind of tracking that's happening inside the app.
Got it. So that's already a lot of stuff, but not nearly everything that Apple announced yesterday. What else stood out to you?
I'm excited about a couple of smaller features. They got some mention on stage, but definitely not top billing. And one of those is driver's licenses, the ability to get your driver's license or ID in your Apple Wallet app. And so Apple's mission has kind of always been to get rid of the George Costanza wallet, that we just have everything in our phones. And so they are here now saying that you're going to be able to scan your ID and it will live in the Apple Wallet. Your state will have to support this and have this ability, but they're pretty bullish on it. And they said they're even working with the TSA that they'll accept this at airports. And so lots of questions around security and privacy on that, but pretty cool as well.
Definitely.
And then I'd say another smaller feature that they mentioned, which it seems like a sad feature, but it's to me, it's very important. I've done a lot of work on it. It's digital legacy. And this is the ability that you go into your Apple ID and that you assign somebody who can take over your account in case you die. And this is a feature that Google and Facebook have had in their systems for a while. And I've always thought it's really important that Apple had something like this.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of our listeners have even seen some of that work. So what's the reaction been like to all this, you know, among developers and consumers?
I think there was a lot of excitement around some of these announcements. Apple covered a lot, and I think there was also quite a bit of hints around what next hardware could come in the fall. That's one of the things that sort of you sort of read the tea leaves in this event, and you say, okay, well, this is going to be changed in the software, so what hardware could come? And I think there was a little bit of excitement if people had expected to maybe see some new laptops, new desktops. We didn't get any of that. So I think there was still this excitement of what Apple's going to continue to do. I think against the backdrop They did a few things to sort of lessen the scrutiny, right? They did some things for developers in terms of releasing some new tools, the ability to develop apps on any device, the ability to promote your apps in the store in some better ways. So I think those were some things that Apple did to nod to the developer community. But I think as a whole, just for the general Apple user, they did quite a bit here to make users and fans of their products excited about what's to come in the fall.
Yeah, and just taking that, you know, one step further, what does this tell us about where Apple is looking to grow, where its business is heading?
I mean, this is just everything hits on Apple's ecosystem growing bigger and the walls around it growing higher. What you see at WWDC is an expansion of all of the operating systems. These features work everywhere. The improvements to FaceTime are everywhere. These messaging features are everywhere. The new Safari features, they work across these devices. They showed one feature where you can use one keyboard and mouse to move through a Mac and an iPad. And so you can kind of use your one central desk to use all your Apple products. And what this is just building is a bigger world for Apple, a world where we want to keep buying things from Apple, where we want to keep buying those services, and we want to keep buying the hardware and all that software that works well together.
All right. That's our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Thanks, Joanna.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.